chapter 34. Martha was up at dawn, trying out her newfound skill, walking. At first it was painful and slow, but the progress she was making, holding on to things for support, was remarkable. With the aid of Sister Setiva's blackthorn stick, which the infirmary nurse had parted with happily, the hermaid wandered joyfully along Great Hall. Martha laughed inwardly at what Setiva had said.
Oak, take this old thing and use it in good health, my bonny lass. I've only kept it to threaten dibbins with, not that they ever took much notice, the wee villains.
The young hermaid manoeuvred the stairs, pausing every few moments to revel in her newfound freedom, walking. Abbot Carroll came up behind her, watching Martha's progress, until she turned and noticed him.
Good morning, Father Abbot. It's a fine morning.
Carroll beamed back at her.
'Tis the finest of mornings, young miss, and all the better for seeing you up and about.
As Torren came out onto the dormitory landing, he waved down to them.
Now then, you two gabby oitlers, why ain't you bringing breakfast up to the poor beasts on guard, eh?
Martha started eagerly back downstairs.
Breakfast for how many, sir? 1, 2, 10? It'll be up there directly.
Grandmum Gervel came trundling through Great Hall, heading a small convoy of moles who were pushing 4 trolleys. She brandished her best copper ladle at Martha.
Oh, no, you won't. Breakfast bees cook's tasked around here. Miss Marth, you may snup to ee dormitories, settee on a chair. Rest your paws now. Do we hear?
Brother Weld had joined Torren on the landing.
Best do as she says, or old Gervel scalp your tail with her ladle. That's one old mole cook who'll stand no nonsense.
Breakfast in the dormitory was a makeshift affair. Rather inconvenient for most, but huge fun for the dibbins. The abbey babes, who thought everything was a game, perched in the oddest places, singing, playing and eating together. Sister Portula was trying to coax Muggum and several of his cohorts down from a shelf, where they were bouncing up and down as they squabbled over hot scones and honeyed oatmeal. In a state of despair, she turned to Martha.
Oh dear, I do wish the sea rats weren't here and we were back to normal. Just look at those little ones, they're getting very wild. But with no abbey school and having to spend all day indoors, who can blame them?
Portula looked to Martha for comment, but the hermaid was not listening. Her joyous mood dispersed. She stood gazing forlornly out the window. The kindly sister showed concern.
Martha, dear, is something the matter? What's wrong?
Torren was close enough to hear his young friend's reply.
I'm sorry, sister, but I can't help feeling sad. I've just realised something. What a waste of time it all is. Bragoon and Sorrow, together with Haughty, Springald and Fenner, have gone off questing for Loamhedge. Little do they know that I need no cure or remedy. Suddenly I can walk. My brother and good friends are far away from Redwall. Who knows what deadly danger or injury may befall them? There was no real need for them to go. Oh, fate can be so cruel at times. I feel responsible and guilty about the whole thing.
Sister Portula comforted her.
You must not blame yourself, Martha. None of this was your doing, was it, Torren?
The Otterkook had strong feelings about Martha's supposed dilemma, and he minced no words in telling her so.
What's all this nonsense? Don't you be talking that way, Martha. You could go on all day worrying about this and that and supposing. Listen, I'll give you a suppose. Supposing your friends and my brother and Sorrow hadn't gone, eh? Things would have turned out totally different. Fate would have cast other lots for every beast. You mightn't have been at that window in your chair last night, but those sea rats may have changed their plans. Then where'd you be now, Martha? I'll tell you, still sitting stuck in a chair. So don't you dare say that there was no point in our good friends undertaking a mission to find a cure for you, Martha Braybuck. And don't talk to me of danger or injury. If and Bragg and Sorrow have anything to do with it, the only ones suffering perils and wounds will be any beasts who tries to stop them. So quit complaining and supposing, miss. Be grateful that you can go running on your own footpaws to greet the travellers when they return to our abbey.
Martha had never heard Torren speak so forcefully or truly. Wiping her eyes, The hair maid clasped her friend's paw fervently.
Thank you, Torrin. You're right. Oh, what a silly creature I am.
The Ottercook turned away, brushing a paw across his own eyes.
No, you ain't. You're our Martha. Now, put a smile on that face. And get those little villains down off on that shelf before they fall and hurt themselves.